Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, also co-hosted by Chad Markwitz. We're going to lead you through this weekend's edition, starting off with comments on the resource sector and also precious metals. And then in the tail end of this first hour, we're going to get more into some of the broad market comments. I want to hope everybody has a great Labor Day, long weekend. I appreciate all of you for tuning in during this long weekend. And I think we're all looking forward to getting out of summer for the active traders to hopefully see some more volume pickups and, who knows, maybe a bit more stronger trends being developed here. Chad and I are kicking off the show with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, we're going to start off with the U.S. dollar here, because the U.S. dollar was on a fairly nice uptrend, really, that started at the beginning of June when the dollar was just under 90 on the dollar index, continued to march higher just about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, August 20th, that's when the dollar reached a high of just short of 94 on the dollar index and has pulled back currently right in that, let's call it 92 area. So still, the dollar hasn't exploded higher. It's actually traded in, for the most part, a range over the last few months, and now it's at the top part of this range. What are your thoughts on this, I guess, recent rollover in the dollar, but again, the dollar being at the upper part of its range? Let's start there.
Good. And to start, appreciate you having me back on the program here, Corey, and Chad, always good to join you. Yes, I've been following the DXY very closely here, and I imagine I'm not the only one that's doing so. You correctly highlighted that the dollar has been in a downtrend here, really since late spring 2020. So obviously in the immediate aftermath of the coronavirus sell-off in February and March of last year, we saw a spike in the U.S. dollar. It has been in a downdraft since then. And that's provided a serious tailwind, both to physical commodity prices, physical metal prices, as well as producers of them. And then as you go further down the food chain, you know, into the junior miners. So that's been wind in our sail for quite some time. We did see the dollar, however, bottom, or potentially bottom, in January of 2021. And as you mentioned, it had been kind of solidifying what seemed like a base for some time there. Then starting in June, about 60 days ago, it looked like it was going to make an attempt to break out of its downtrend. And the key level there was around 93.50 on the DXY. And we saw in the third week of August, around the 18th, 19th, 20th, DXY jump above that level, but it was unable to hold it, and it got pounded down, and I think it pretty convincingly failed, at least on this first attempt. And so, not surprisingly, we've seen, you know, metal prices and resource equity prices in particular have performed very strongly in these 8 to 9 trading days since, as the market has realized here that this first attempt to break that level has failed. You know, personally, I the focus for MJG is individual security selection. I really try not to get bogged down in, you know, making macro forecasts or getting too tied into the technical levels. That said, it's helpful to have a sense for where we're likely to go next. And it seems to me that we're going to go down to 92 on the DXY here in the immediate term. So that's the next critical level. Once that's touched, we'll probably see one of two things. First option is that the DXY breaks down from that level. And in that case, it's probably likely that we'll see the DXY test its 52-week lows sometime later this year, which would certainly be good for resource equities. If that was the case, then we would very likely see the next upleg in this resource bull market that we've been experiencing here since at least March 2020. Some would argue longer. Second option would be the 92 level holding. And then we see a retest of the 93.5 level, you know, in the coming few months. If that were the case, I think this, you know, euphoria we've seen over the past couple weeks of trading, you know, would prove to be short lived. And there would be a lot of fingernail biting and concern as we retest the 93.5 level. So jury's still out. I do think we go down to 92. That could provide another, you know, couple weeks of positive momentum in the juniors that we follow. You know, from that point, it will be a key inflection point, and we'll see where we go from there.
Well, Matt, I'd be curious to get your take on how you think the dollar, basically in relation to all the other currencies, because it's not floating in a vacuum, but that dollar index is weighted against the euro and the yen and the pound and the kroner and all of that. But also how that plays into what a lot of, let's say, precious metals investors are looking at. It doesn't always have to be inversely correlated, but as you mentioned, a weaker dollar is a tailwind for the commodity sector in general, but also for the precious metals. And a strong dollar tends to lean more deflationary, and so that presses the commodities prices down and is a headwind to the precious metals. But a lot of investors also think that in addition to the dollar, that for the precious metals markets to really take off, we need to see some weakness in the general stock market. So how do you think that all ties together as far as this recent weakness we've seen in the dollar and how that may tie into the general markets in the U.S.?
Right. I think you make some good points there. I mean, in the current environment, to simplify it, I would say, you know, risk off mentality in the market would correspond with a strong dollar. Risk on would correspond with a weak dollar. So if we do see the DXY, you know, move down to its lows, you know, witnessed earlier this year, potentially break below those, I think that would probably be more positive for the non-precious metal commodities. So the energy metals, the base metals, industrial materials, really across the spectrum. I think it would be modestly positive for gold equities. I don't necessarily think it would be a disaster. But I think it's fair to say that if we continue with this risk on mentality that we've really been undergoing here for 18 months, that we can expect gold not to move in the same manner as what you'd expect with copper and some of these other commodities more linked to the global growth cycle. So I think that's a fair point. Obviously, if the 93.5 level were breached and we start to see the DXY, you know, creeping up towards levels we last saw last year, that would spell, you know, short term doom for, you know, the energy and base metal complex. It probably also results in kind of a capitulation event to some degree in the precious metal equities, at least in the very short term. But I think that would probably set the stage for a more sustained rally amongst the precious metals relative to the rest of the metals complex. So a little nuanced here. I mean, I think if you have exposure to the resource market broadly, your clear preference is for a weaker dollar from here. If you're all in on gold and silver, it's a bit more nuanced.
All right, Matt, that's going to wrap us up for this first segment, but we are having you back on next segment. And you know what? Look, the dollar has pulled back a little bit, hasn't really resulted in a major push for commodities, but the dollar, I guess, even before this recent pullback, was still generally trending higher. Still very mixed bag for that dollar. I still hear a lot of bears out there, and there's the odd bull that's saying, just look at that U.S. data. It continues to improve. Overall, though, for the commodities investor, especially precious metals investor, we need another leg higher to draw some interest in, because whether you look at really any other sector, but especially U.S. equity markets, boy, oh boy, those have really outperformed the precious metals and pretty much all precious metals stocks. Matt, we're bringing you on next segment. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the companies you are watching. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And Chad and I are continuing to chat with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, we talked big picture last segment. This segment, I want to get more into some of the individual stocks that you're following. And we're going to start in more of the base metal sector, more with nickel. We don't talk a whole lot about nickel, but look, there's been some M&A activity starting to heat up. We saw Norant, the bidding war for that company, and interests surrounding Western areas start to perk up. What do you think about some of that M&A activity in the nickel sector?
I will say there's been amazing intrigue around Norant. And we don't have a horse in this particular race, but I've been watching with interest from the sidelines. You know, I guess the timeline here quickly for your listeners is that Wyloo Metals, which is a private company controlled by Australian billionaire Andrew Forrest, who was behind Fortescue Metals, they are Norant's largest shareholder. And in May, they made an offer, in hindsight, a quite opportunistic offer, at 31.5 cents Canadian to take over the rest of Norant that they did not own. That was a hostile bid. The board and management were not in support. And a couple months pass, and then BHP comes over the top, which, you know, in hindsight wasn't all too big of a surprise. BHP has made it very clear that their intention is to go much deeper into the nickel business. You know, they've moved their global exploration headquarters from Chile up to Toronto, and they're particularly keen on nickel in Canada. And they came over the top and offered 55 cents. And this was a friendly offer supported by Norant's board and management. And then just a couple days ago, to my surprise at least, Wyloo has now come in, and they feel like they're able to take on BHP here. We'll see how that plays out. They've come in and made an offer at 70 cents. That's not a formal offer, at least according to the company. So we'll see in the coming few days if that's, you know, submitted in a formal manner. If it is, we're talking a share price that is more than twice Wyloo's original offer of 31.5 cents just last May. I don't imagine BHP is gonna let Wyloo take this asset, but that remains to be seen. You also mentioned Western areas, which is a lot closer to home for me. We are shareholders, for full disclosure, in the MJG fund of Western areas. It's been a position of ours since spring, well, I think of May of 2020. So a little bit over a year now. And funny enough, it's actually the only producing miner in our portfolio at the moment. You know, don't generally spend too much time on the producers. All of our cash flowing names, aside from Western areas, are royalty players. But for this specific circumstance, I made an exception due to the quality of the assets, the people involved, and the valuations that we were talking about at the time. You know, this would have been the third week of August, so just a couple weeks back. A financial Australian Times article came out mentioning that IGO was in talks to take over Western areas potentially, and Western areas management within 24 hours went as far as confirming that they were in talks with IGO, and they would let the market know if any formal agreement is settled upon. Just a couple days later, Wyloo Metals, so they're entering the picture again here, and Andrew Forrest is obviously looking very keenly at nickel assets. They announced that they had just crossed the 5% ownership threshold of Western areas. And it turns out that Wyloo, since March of 2021, so just over the past 4 or 5 months, had accumulated $38 million Aussie worth of Western Area stock, and it just crossed that 5% reporting threshold. So now we have IGO with their hat in the ring, you know, confirmed by Western Areas. You now have Wyloo, who's accumulated a 5% stake in Western Areas and seems potentially interested. And then, of course, there's the gorilla in the room, which, again, is BHP. So here's another scenario of Wyloo potentially being pitted against BHP. BHP hasn't formally expressed interest in Western areas up to this point, but they're a clear potential acquirer here for a couple reasons. The first is that of Western areas' current nickel production, which comes from its Forrestania operations, which is comprised of the Spotted Quoll and Flying Fox mines, BHP already takes half of Western Area's offtake material, and that's sent up to their Nickel West operation. That offtake is expiring in January of 2023, so they only have 18 months or so of that material, of that nickel material. And keep in mind, BHP is desperate for nickel material, so that's one reason. If IGO came in, they would lose out on any future nickel production from Forrestania, most likely, as that offtake expired. More importantly, Western Areas has their Odysseus asset, which is where most of the value comes from for this company. That asset, they put close to, hundreds of millions of dollars into constructing the mine. And just this month, they are going to be pulling first ore from the ground, which is pretty exciting. And they're projecting commercial production in roughly a year's time, we'll say in late 2022 here. And interestingly, at Odysseus, there's been no offtakes agreed to yet. And Western Areas has publicly said in the past couple weeks that they're going to finalize an offtake agreement for this Odysseus ore sometime in the next few months. So, reading between the lines, what seems to be happening here is Western Areas is dangling this offtake as Odysseus almost as a carrot to incentivize, one of these three obvious parties to come forward with a formal bid, and then perhaps a formal bidding battle will occur. My bet is that we will see a formal offer emerge from one of these three potential suitors before we ultimately see Western Areas announce an offtake for Odysseus. So it's quite another dynamic situation there. I think it just goes to show that there are very few nickel sulfide development assets at a later stage of interest. If you take Western Areas off the board, you take Noront off the board, there are really only a couple Aussie-based assets that we could expect to see production anytime in the next 12 to 24 months. There are some good nickel sulfide assets out there in places like Brazil or in Minnesota. But again, these are projects that are, further down the development curve and still years away from production, even in the best case scenario. So I think groups like Western Areas are in a very attractive scenario. Groups like Mincor, Panoramic maybe fall into that basket as well. It's worth noting that Western Areas itself owns 20% of Panoramic. So it's likely, I think, that we see more deals here beyond Western Area as the amount of targets are pretty slim and the demand for nickel is only increasing.
All right, guys, we're out of time for this segment. If you want to hear this full interview, and it does go on for another about 10 minutes with Matt Geiger, all you have to do is visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
More anti-Taliban protests in Afghanistan Saturday, but this time there are reports of violence. Women protesting in Kabul for the second day in a row. An Afghan news agency reports the protests turned violent as Taliban forces did not allow protesters to march toward the presidential palace. The new unemployment number is not as good as analysts expected. The Labor Department's jobs report for August released Friday. Analysts expecting about 720,000 new jobs get just 235,000 instead. President Biden, though, trying to look on the bright side.
Today's report shows that the steps we've taken, passing the rescue plan and vaccinating 175 million people, make our economy capable of growing and adding jobs even in the face on this continuing Delta surge.
The unemployment rate dropping in the latest report to 5.2%. Pre-pandemic in February 2020, we were at 3.5%. This is USA Radio News. We could be in for a bad month when it comes to COVID. That warning coming from Dr. Anthony Fauci on MSNBC Friday.
When you get over a holiday weekend like the Labor Day weekend and then start going into the fall, you have children coming back to school in en masse. You know, there'd be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of kids coming back to school. All of those ingredients together could actually lead to a resurgence of cases, and that's what we're concerned about.
There are reports of more kids getting COVID, increases in pediatric hospitalizations and deaths being reported. Fauci, though, says it's too soon to know if this is because the Delta variant is really tougher on kids than other strains, or is it just that more kids are getting it. New Orleans residents who fled ahead of Hurricane Ida being asked to return home. Mayor LaToya Cantrell announcing Friday almost all residents could have power back by Wednesday. As of Saturday morning, PowerOutages.us reports over 145,000 outages in Orleans Parish. This is USA Radio News.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And in these final two segments of this hour, Chad and I are chatting with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That's read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. He also writes a retail newsletter called In the Know Trader and a piece called 7-Eleven, where Rick chooses no more than 7 out of 11 spider ETFs. Rick, I want to start with the U.S. equity markets because, look, it's been a pretty slow summer. The summer doldrums was a very reasonable and accurate way to explain it. But for U.S. equity markets, they just kept grinding higher. There's a lot of different factors that we can talk about, but I just want to start with general price action for U.S. markets, the broad averages. Rick, how much higher can these go in your eyes?
Good question. How much higher over time? A heck of a lot higher. Over the near term, I'm thinking that what I've been telling clients is that from 45.60 in the S&P up to 46.50, so kind of that 90 points, which these days is about 2%, I expect the S&P to have some difficulty in just easily pushing through the way it has so many other different levels. So as we kind of get close to it now, we're not far away. We're at 45.30-ish, so we're only a percent away or so from, you know, the bottom end of that range. I think it'll struggle a bit. If I look at longer-term charts, I certainly can target 4,900, and that's kind of a measured move coming off of the March 2020 low. And back in 2013, I was at Wells Fargo as head of cross-asset trading strategy. I remember publishing a report that said that the S&P will be at 5,000 in 10 years from now. Actually, it was now that I think it was 2014. It was June of 2014, because I knew it was 2024. And people laughed at me because the S&P was at 2,000 at that point. And here I am putting out a 5,000 target 10 years later. We're certainly getting very darn close. And I don't think we have to stop in around 5,000, but that is kind of a place that a long time ago I was able to decipher and expect that we'd have a massive bull market that could get us there over a 10-year period from what was then 2,000. So when I look at where we're trading now, I look at where I have some shorter-term targets, I look at 5,000 as kind of a longer-term target. You know, it kind of gives me a sense that there's still a chance of as much as maybe 10% higher before we get a pullback that, you know, is a more meaningful one. And I'm not talking about a 5% pullback, but something that is, let's say it could be 10% or more. Am I looking for a bear market, which many people will qualify as a 20% pullback from a high? Not likely.
What about the whole crash scenario that we're hearing from a lot of commentators, too, saying a big correction, not just a bear market, but a crash is coming?
Yeah. Well, how many of those people said that, 500 S&P points ago and 1,000 S&P points ago?
I hear you, Rick. For the last decade, I've been saying that.
Right. And certainly since we saw the big sell-off in 2020 in the early part of the year, you've had people fighting this all the way up. For a long time, I've kind of thought about this 5,000 neighborhood as being the place that this was targeted for. And look, we haven't seen a 5% down move since last November. 5%, even if we got it, in the balance of, balance of today is only half a trading day, that would kind of be crash-like. But, even if it came sometime in the month of September, it's not a huge thing considering where we've come from back in 2020. We were under 2250, right? So the S&P has doubled in a year and a half. And we haven't had this 5% pullback since last November. So, a move like that can happen anytime. Bearish news that's longer lasting than the typical 24 to 48 hours, which bearish news hits the market these days and just creates another buying opportunity for most people. Sooner or later, we're going to have something like that. It's going to come. But you can't really play for it. And when it does come, let me frame it this way. When we get a correction, it's still going to be a buying opportunity. So I'm not going to buy a 2% pullback, but, if we get to levels that I can determine are places that I would expect buyers to re-show up, and I think that's going to be an ongoing process for a while, then I'm still basically in bullish mode. And then the question becomes just where you pick your places to add exposure over time and where you might trim some over time just simply because of either we start finally getting into a trading range that lasts, 6 months or something that you can get some sense of back and forth, which you don't really get these days. It's a straight up move. Seven times we've already tested the 50-day moving average since last November. And something as simple as that has been the answer to when to get your best bargain opportunities in S&P terms. But Corey, you also, and Chad, you have to think about the fact that despite the S&P and the broad cap indexes making new all-time highs, there's a lot of stocks that are not participating anything like that. Russell 2000 breadth is a very different picture than S&P 500 breadth. So you've been in a sideways to lower range in that for a while. Mid-cap breadth has been pure sideways. Only the S&P 500 has continued kind of in the bull market. So it's a big cap rally, and the big cap names are what pushes, the benchmarks, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ indices in their calculations. So you've had plenty of stocks that people have gotten hurt on, despite the fact that virtually every day we're making new all-time highs.
Yeah, Rick, I was going to ask you about that because people are piled into really the same dozen or so high-flying names, and that's driving the index up, especially in the S&P and sometimes in the NASDAQ. But like you mentioned, the Russell 2000 and really the market breadth in general, there's a lot of sectors or there's a lot of smaller niche sectors that are not participating. I like your approach in how you pick 7 out of the 11 main ETFs that are either moving or not moving. What ones do you have your eye on that are undervalued that could possibly move higher at this point then?
Well, so in that 7-Eleven report, the goal of that report is to beat the return of the S&P 500 by being in less than 5 or more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs that are the macro ETFs like XLB, XLE, XLK, etc. We just last week I upgraded energy, which has been had an abysmal several months. After being the best performer and sharply outperforming the S&P this year, kind of dove, and I was just waiting for my signals to show up to come back in, and they showed up last week. So I've upgraded energy now and think that that's a sector that the names have pulled back enough on that you're going to get outperformance from them. So it's one of the sectors, too. If you think of, if you have some extra cash, should you buy spiders? I actually would rather buy XLE at this point because I think it'll do better. So that's probably my favorite name or sector to go into now that has been beaten up over the last several months, thinking that that bottom is probably being made right now and that you can get some outperformance to get from energy.
All right, guys, we're going to have to wrap up this third segment here. But, Rick, what I'm getting from you is still very much a buy-the-dip mentality for U.S. equity markets and still a generally bullish outlook. And you're right, or at least you have been right, when these markets have just continued to move higher. I am going to have Rick back on next segment. But if you want to hear the full interview, because we can't fit it all just into these two segments, please visit our website, kereport.com. Listen to that full interview. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Rick Bensinger.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
92
$5,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
Tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hey everyone, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Chad and I are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now Rick, we spent last segment talking about the U.S. equity markets. This segment, let's shift focus a little bit to commodities. What's your outlook for something like the precious metals after now just over a year-long correction? Gold went down on a flash crash just a few weeks ago, tested that 1675 level right back to around 1800. We're ending the week here with gold moving higher on the back of that weaker-than-expected jobs report, but still right around that 1830 level, still a lot of work to do on the upside. What is your outlook for gold?
I was very concerned on that, what you're calling, you know, the crash down from, you know, what was almost, I don't know, 1800 down to 1675 in a matter of 2 weeks. But being that we stopped where we did at 1675, which is now a triple bottom on a long-term gold chart, I was tempted to sell out of my gold holdings, but I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't. You know, one of the things that investors often lose sight of is the time that price spends at a certain level, not just the price itself. And the reality is that if you look at a gold chart, let's say you look at a weekly bar chart of gold, and you go back 3-4 weeks to that week that sold down, you know, we closed near the upper end of the range that week. So you had a spike down, and you know, it was not fun watching gold go from 1750 to 1675 in 2 days. But then it rebounded, and so it spent very little time. It was another spike low into a pure horizontal support line at 1675. So the fact that it was a spike and we spent no time down there meant that weak-handed longs got knocked out. And the people buying what the weak-handed longs were selling out were probably more investors. People said, I'll take advantage of other people's pain and buy what they're puking out. And the fact that gold has been up now every week since then makes me think gold is okay. I mean, we're getting closer to the downtrend line from all-time highs. And if you can pop through there and then take out the 2021 highs, or let's say the mid-year highs, from the spring, somewhere near, I don't know, 1925, I think it was, then gold should be able to test its all-time highs and possibly even, you know, go higher. So I'm still sticking with gold. I certainly have a line in the sand now, been 8.1675, and I wouldn't really want to have to give back that much. But the market clearly showed that that level was a pure kind of flash crash type event, and there's been straight buying since then. So I like coal.
Yeah, Rick, we definitely want to see that 1675 triple bottom hold, and it has been a little bit more peppy lately. One question I have, just following up on your previous comment about some of the rotation out of bonds, you mentioned that you think a lot of it will go into the general markets, but we've also been in that negative real rate environment where we've seen inflation creeping up, and what I was alluding to earlier with the 1970s comment on the stagflation was that we may see inflation stay sticky, and if rates, even if they go up some, if real rates are still negative, that's traditionally a good environment for gold. Couldn't some of that money leave the bond market? Do you think it's possible there'd be a rotation from bonds into gold as well as the general markets?
I think it's possible you'll see some trickle into gold. But if those funds aren't invested in gold yet, then I'm not sure. You know, some of it is because the mandate of the fund doesn't allow them to go into an asset like gold. But let's say they have a mandate that allows them to, yes, you could see some trickle into gold. You might see more go towards cryptos simply because the human mind and behavioral analysis suggests that people like to be in what other people are making money in. And being that, you know, Bitcoin's back to 50,000, Ethereum's making new highs, actually even outperforming Bitcoin these days, or actually Ethereum's near its high. It's the type of thing that you may see that cryptos become more of an accepted asset class simply because you don't want to be, you know, fear of missing out, the FOMO type thing. And if corporate boards allow, imagine if they even let up to 2% of a bond fund have assets in crypto, what the inflows can be over time. I still have a hard time getting a handle around cryptos as a truly acceptable investment, even though I've got money myself in Ethereum and I made 50% this year. You know, so I can't complain. But if any of that becomes more accepted, then the exit out of the bond market, certainly you'll see money go into equities. You might get some into, you know, the gold market. But you may very well see this, again, a certain percent. I can't see any major pension plan saying, you know, you can go up to 10% in crypto. I think that would be hugely speculative and not in the best interest of the people who are relying on that pension plan down the road. But even a small percentage in, you know, some of these companies have billions of dollars in their pension plans. So even, you know, 1 or 2% allowing into some type of asset like that can make a huge difference. So I think to answer your question, Chad, that yes, some will trickle into gold, but I think there's also this, the crypto people have done a heck of a good job at marketing something. Whether or not it's it's valid, that's a whole different story. But it's becoming, rightly or wrongly, more accepted. And that's a place that even I would tell my kids who, you know, I've gotten them to invest in their 20s and put away money. I have a son who's 20. How old is he? 23. And he already has a Roth IRA and just, you know, sent me an email the other day that he wants to add another $750 into it. Where should he put it? You know, I might tell him, put a third of it into crypto and then the rest into stocks. And he's got a 40-year hold on this before he's going to touch the money. But I just think that bonds are not the place as an investment. They're not going to do you any good over time. And if rates go up, you're going to lose more money. You'll have capital depreciation in your bonds. You'll lose more than the interest rate that you're getting. I just think I personally just can't get into the idea of owning bonds with such low returns.
Okay, Rick, a follow-up question then. Real quick for cryptos. It's been interesting to see Ethereum outperforming Bitcoin. Now, both are moving higher, so to your point, right, outperforming assets do draw more attention than those that are underperforming. But this move into Ethereum, is that telling you is something more about this market, too, that it's maybe a different type of investor, too, that's entering this market and taking a different look at cryptos broadly?
You know, it might be. My stepson was, I have three of them, and two of them were particularly into cryptos. We were talking when I was kind of a total naysayer, and I was a naysayer even, I think, just before I decided to put some money in, fully recognizing I could lose all of it. But so I was willing to put in an amount that I was comfortable that if it disappeared from my life altogether and crypto went to zero, it wasn't going to change my life. He convinced me to get into Ethereum rather than Bitcoin because of its actual practical usage, and that it made sense to him, who had done the research, that it made more sense to be in Ethereum than Bitcoin. So I bought some Ethereum myself. I don't know much about Cardano or any of these other ones. You know, pretty much both Bitcoin and Ethereum have futures contracts that the Chicago Mercantile Exchange has listed. And if they've listed it, you can have some pretty good assurance that these are the cream of the crop of cryptos. So there are Bitcoin futures, there are Ethereum futures. But the fact that those two have listed futures say to me that these are far more legitimate than Dogecoin and, you know, all these, there's God knows how many of crypto coins that you're playing a complete guessing game.
Okay. Well, Rick, we'll wrap it up there. Some interesting comments on cryptos and also the potential money flows that we could see if the markets, or well, really, if treasuries start to sell off too, and where that money might rotate. Look, I think we're all looking forward to getting out of summer and having a bit more active trading, and who knows, maybe some new trends being established as well. Rick, it's great having you on the show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in this weekend. We're going to be back on it a little after the long weekend, back on Tuesday, and again, that's after Labor Day, so we're all expecting a bit more traders back at their desks. Rick, thanks again for your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend, buddy.
Thank you, guys. A pleasure, as always.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.